In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and he comes to be your Savior. And he's coming again, and we look forward to that. And he comes to save, and he saves you by the power of his word, and so he's saving you this morning through that word as it goes forth. And we rejoice in that. He doesn't save you because you're so good. He saves you because you need saving. And he loves you. He wants to save you. That's his desire. His desire is that you would be saved. That's the kind of God that you have. And you don't have to qualify it for it. You don't have to achieve something. He saves. And we rejoice in that. And he loves us enough to say it the way it is. The season of Advent helps us with that. May the Lord bless the speaking hearing of his word this morning. When someone says to me, "I've got good news and bad news, what do you want to hear first?" I always choose bad news first. I want to get the bad news over with, and I want to end with good news. And that might be a good way to head into our Advent sermon today. Good news and bad news. Bad news first. Bad news first. You need saving. Now, you might never remember a day when you weren't a Christian, but you still need saving. And when we're honest with ourselves, we see that. You know, you take a trip through the Ten Commandments. You say, "Well, you know, I haven't killed anybody." Okay, you haven't, but you've been angry. You've complained. You've been critical of others. You have not honored God first in your life. You put yourself first. You've not loved your neighbors yourself. And that's just this morning. You say it's not really that bad, is it? Yes, it is. It's actually worse than that. And that's one of the reasons why we have confession of sins and absolution every divine service. We need it. And that applies to each of us, whether you've been a Christian for 2 weeks or 102 years. John the Baptizer helps us with this. John the Baptist, he's the man we think of when we hear that word, repent. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptist tells people to get ready for Jesus by telling them to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said that to everybody. He said it to the non-religious, non-churchgoers. And we get that. We're like, yeah, they need that. But he also said it to the churchgoers, to the religious. In fact, he specifically called out the religious leaders of his day and said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." But repentance is not just a John the Baptist word. It's found throughout the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Apostle Paul preached, "The times of ignorance God overlooked in the past, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." And then Peter in his second letter writes these words, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Repentance. What is it? How do we do it? Repentance means change of mind. Change of mind starts up here. You act a certain way because you think a certain way. And so we don't start with changing your behavior. We start with the change of our minds and the way we think. And that's what it means to repent. People often think, well, no, repentance means changing the way you behave. And you can do that without changing the way you think to a certain extent. You can correct some bad habits. You can self-discipline a little bit more. You can try harder. And you can have some success at that, all the while remaining unrepentant. You haven't really changed the way you think. And that's what John the Baptizer said to the religious leaders of his day. He called them out because they had good behavior. They worked hard to be devout, to be religious, but they never thought of themselves as needing to change their thinking. So it's not enough to change your behavior. It starts first with changing the way you think. And only God's Word can work that in us. When we see God's Word, repentance means two things. First of all, to confess our sins, to admit our shortcomings, our faults, our failures. And then secondly, to believe that God in Christ forgives us. If we just confess our sins and say, okay, I'm sorry for all the bad things that I've done, now I've repented. No, if you stop there, you'll end up in despair. And I would suggest that for many people that have committed suicide, that's kind of where they've been. They feel really bad about something they've done, and they don't think they can be forgiven, they don't think things can change, and they end up taking their lives. They despair. Godly grief brings sorrow, but it also brings Christ. And so to repent means not only to admit our sins, but also then, secondly, to believe that God in Christ forgives us. The devil will attack you on both of those points. First of all, he'll try to tell you, well, you know, you're really not that bad of a sinner. You're not so bad. Other people are way worse. But if you come to the realization, oh, wow, no, I am a bad sinner. I've done grievous things. Then the devil will attack you on that front and say, you have done such bad things, God cannot forgive you. Jesus addresses both of those. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites us to himself with our sins. Jesus will not walk away from you. He doesn't turn you aside. He doesn't turn you away. He comes to you in the midst of your sins, and then he says, I forgive you. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to qualify for that. You don't have to perform. It's based on what Jesus does and has done for you. And then you rest in the security of what God has done for you in Christ. And that's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's something you do every day. We begin our days with Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me to live as you would have me live this day. Help me to think as you would have me think. We go through our day. And at the end of the day, we were like, Lord, forgive me where I've fallen short for my behavior and for my thinking. And he assures you that you are loved and forgiven and chosen him throughout that. And so we gather to hear his word and to be reminded again and again who we are because of Christ and what he has done for us. That he would assure us that we belong to him and that we can rest in the security of being forgiven. God works that repentance in us through the power of his word. And when he does that, there will be evidence of that. When I believe that God has been gracious and merciful and forgiving towards me, then I will be more gracious and merciful and forgiving towards those around me. When I begin to realize how patient and kind the Lord has been with me, then I will be led to be more patient and kind with those around me. But that's the fruit of repentance. That's what comes when God first changes our thinking by the power of his word. And that gives us hope. That gives us hope, and it prepares us for our Lord to come again. And that's what his word works in us. We have these wonderful words you heard in our epistle lesson today. Paul writes, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And this isn't like hope, wishful thinking hope. This is hope like this is going to happen. This is sure and solid. And then Paul concludes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. There's the end with the good news. And we rejoice in that. Bad news, you need to be saved. Good news, God has saved you and is continuing to save you through the power of His Word. Rejoice not only in the bad news, but rejoice in the good news, what God has done for you in Christ, that He has led you to repentance during this Advent season. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen.